Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Quilting Radio. I'm really excited about the show today. We have a lot of fun information and really cool things that are going to be going on. Let me first tell you about the guest that I'm going to have on for the first segment, Lindsay Connor. Lindsay writes over at lindsaysews.com, and it's a really fun site where she talks about all the things that she does in quilt making. She's also an author of the book Modern Bee, which I was on her book tour, and so you may have seen me talk about her book. It's a fantastic book about quilt bees. And so Lindsay's going to be here. She's here now to tell us about her quilt making, and we're going to talk a little bit about communities, quilt communities. So hi, Lindsay. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I am wonderful. Lindsay, tell me a little bit about how you sort of landed into turning your hobby of quilting into your job, because you had a little bit of a career change.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's all very recent, and I love to tell this story because for me, quilting just kind of came out of the blue. I didn't grow up in a family of quilters. My mom was pretty crafty, but I was working in a corporate cubicle job as a book editor and did that for several years after college and kind of reached my point where I felt like I wasn't really growing or learning anything new anymore and was really itching for a creative career. And in my free time at work, I guess you would say, I started reading sewing blogs and getting totally into the online quilting world. In 1 year, I joined 15 craft swaps through the mail, and I just went swap crazy.
That's a lot of swaps,
so,
Lindsay.
It was a lot of swaps, and my postage bill that year was probably, you know, a little high, but it kept me so excited about the idea of sewing with others and sewing for others, and it just quickly became my passion. So backtrack now to March of 2012, my husband had recently resigned from his job, and that was on a Sunday. And then on a Wednesday, I went into work and found out that I was likely losing my job, which was a very stable, steady Freddy job in the publishing industry. And so to both of us, it just kind of signaled that change was coming, and we were ready to kind of go with the flow. And by that point, I had already started my book proposal process with Modern Bee and with Stash Books. So that Friday, all in the same week, I found out that my book proposal was accepted. So it was just kind of a week of ups and downs, a lot of craziness. But I'm really thankful for that, and thankful for change. For me, it's been a great fit to do the kind of work I do now, which is designing sewing patterns and blogging for others, just really being a part of the creative community.
You know, sometimes, you know, life just does that, doesn't it? It just sort of hits you 1, 2, 3. But in the end, you know, if you kind of keep your chin up, right, and it works out.
Sure.
It's like the opportunity just plopped right there for you.
That's an
amazing story. Well, let's talk a little bit about the book, because I do really, really love your book. I think that it's a great one for people who want to, well, of course, the quilts are amazing, but also you just have great information about being in a quilt bee. And quilt bees are a very old concept, people sewing together either in person or online. And, you know, I've been in quilt bees since there was the internet. So it's really, you know, online. So it's really, really fun. Tell me sort of the concept of the book. What did you put into it?
Sure. This book was not created on my own. It was created with a group of 12 quilters, and we all met online through our blogs and through Flickr. And so I was really honored to be able to work with them. For the book, each of us took 1 month of the year, And we created an original block pattern and created a quilt from that pattern. And so the idea is that if you would like to follow along with your own bee, you can do so. And the book will show you, you know, how many blocks to make, what size fabric to cut and send to your bee mates, really everything you need to know to run that bee. But you can also make any of the patterns on your own. You don't have mm-hmm. to be a part of a bee to do that. So that's a really fun aspect of the book. I also included a lot of tips and tricks for being a part of a quilting bee. It doesn't take long to troll around some message boards and realize that there are some very common issues that come up in a quilting bee. Sometimes mm-hmm. you'll have what I like to call a bad bee member, quote, and no one likes to be that. I've been that before. I think I have been that in the last month. Just making a block that's late or getting overwhelmed and forgetting a deadline. So the book really talks to that too. And how to approach situations in a gentle way and mm-hmm. make the most of your online quilting bee experience.
What did you think was sort of the most challenging part for you to write or put together for the book?
That's a good question. I really enjoyed the entire process. Mm-hmm. Not to say that there weren't challenging parts, but for me, I had never really drawn quilt diagrams before. And so as I was compiling the book from a variety of quilters and kind of collating their instructions, mm-hmm. I got out the graph paper and my colored pencils and my ruler and was, you know, doing these detailed drawings of everyone's quilt. And for me to wrap my mind around that when I wasn't the designer of that pattern, it was probably mm-hmm. the most challenging. It was really a growing experience.
Yeah, it is interesting to have to look at somebody else's patterns. You think about what the magazine editors do. You know, they get in another person's
sure.
pattern and have to make it, you know, flow for the magazine style. So that's really,
sure.
that's kind of a learning thing. You know, you also had these great tips. You know, I love the one, you know, my bee's a bad fit for me, because sometimes that happens. What do you suggest people do if they're like get into this situation where they're supposed to be swapping blocks and they're all of a sudden they're like, you know, these blocks don't talk to me, or my life just fell apart and I can't, you know, maybe I got a new job all of a sudden and I can't spend the time.
Yeah.
What should they do? What do you recommend?
You know what I think is the most important is just to be honest with maybe the leader of your group and just tell them what's going on. You know, we've all come up in situations in life where we just feel a little bit overwhelmed and maybe your job has changed. Maybe, you know, you're just not feeling up to the task of making the blocks. I think that most people want to genuinely help. And so I think that if you are honest with those people in your group, that maybe somebody else will step up or say, hey, I have a friend who might want to, you know, take your place or let me help you, or I can make an extra block for you this month if that would help. So I've seen all of those things happen. And in my current bee that I'm in, it's Do Good Stitches. I myself am pregnant. I'm expecting my first child in January. And so I told the bee, said, you know, I'm just not sure what my commitment level is going to be able to be next year. So I had that conversation as well. And, you know, the response was really gracious, like, hey, we could maybe take December off and maybe we can have the bee work with just 5 quilters instead of 6. And, you know, there are just a lot of great solutions there. And I'm really thankful for everyone's graciousness.
I think that's excellent. You know, talk, communicate, tell people what's going on, because there's a solution out there. And you're right. People do want to make it work. What I'm interested that you actually have an ongoing bee online. So you have friends that you're doing like year after year after year?
You know, I have actually been a part of several seasonal bees. So I started with a bee through my local quilt guild when I lived in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis Modern Quilt Guild. And we did an in-person swap, and that was really fun. That lasted a year. And then I did the B with the girls from the Modern B book. And so we did that over the course of the year. And I also joined several stints of a Flickr B, a 4x5 B. And that's a really cool option. If you want to join a B, but you don't have a full year to commit, you could maybe pop in for 3 months and do a section of a B, and you can swap blocks all simultaneously. And you'll collect basically enough blocks for a sampler quilt in any colors that you choose. Mine were yellow and aqua and gray. So it's a pretty fun way to make a quilt with other people and without having that year-long commitment. Mm-hmm. And my current bee that I'm a part of is Do Good Stitches, and that is organized through Flickr as well. And that's been a really great experience, and we give quilts to charity. So I love making blocks for that each month.
Is there a place, we have about a minute left, is there a place people can find these, or should they just sort of, you know, be reading a lot of blogs and they'll see things pop up?
Yeah, I actually have, if you go to my website I've set up for the book, it's modernbbook.com. I have a resources page where I've listed links to some of my favorite places for finding an online bee. And I'm also planning on doing a quilt along to go along with the book. Starting in January, we're going to attack the January block for the book. So if you're interested in that, I'm going to put information on the book website too. So modernbeebook.com.
That's perfect. That's perfect, because there are so many people who have never attempted it, but this is going to entice them. And so they can come and visit you, Lindsay. This is awesome. So you have just a few days till this baby arrives, just a couple weeks.
Yep. We're about a month away, and pretty much whenever the baby decides to come. So I'm trying to sew like a mad woman right now and do whatever I can and also relax, because I've heard I probably won't get a lot of sleep.
No. Well, thanks for being on the show, Lindsay. This has been awesome. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll be right back after the break.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To store a matching spool and bobbin together, thread both onto a long pipe cleaner and twist the pipe cleaner ends together.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I really love hearing how people approach their projects. And there is a new book out called Vintage Quilt Revival, which actually has 3 authors. And so I've been interviewing all of them. And I have the 3rd author on today, Lee Heinrich from FreshlyPiece.com. And so Lee is here to tell us a little bit about her quilt making and her part of the Vintage Quilt Revival book. Thanks for being here, Lee.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how you discovered quilt making.
Well, I come from a graphic design background. I worked as a graphic designer for many years, and so
So obviously I've always been kind of a visual person, and probably around 2003 or 2004, I saw a piece on Martha Stewart Living about Denise Schmitz. Mm. You know, prior to that point, I had never sewn a stitch before in my life, and I had never really given a lot of thought to quilting one way or the other. But when I saw Denise's quilts on Martha Stewart Living, I was blown away. It was nothing like what I thought quilting was. It was very different to me. And it just kind of, I felt like it opened up this whole new world. And I thought to myself as I watched that piece, I have to learn how to do that. So, you know, it wasn't the right moment right at that time for me to take on a new hobby. I was busy. I didn't have a lot of time or money to invest in a new hobby. But several years later, I had my first daughter, and I decided to quit work and stay home with her. So I still kind of wanted that creative outlet that my graphic design career had given to me before. And I immediately thought of, you know, these beautiful quilts that I had seen on Martha Stewart Living. So, and right around that same time, my mom decided to upgrade her sewing machine. So she gave me her old one, which was a wonderful confluence of events. And I took up quilting. And it was perfect.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Here's a sewing machine. Oh gosh. I really wanted to learn to sew.
She actually called me up and told me I'm going to take a quilting class, because she had always sewn when I was growing up, but she had never quilted. Mm-hmm. And when she told me that, I said, oh, I'm so jealous. I want to learn how to quilt. And I think she was kind of surprised. She was like, really? You do?
Really?
So then, of course, once she started that quilting class, she immediately like wanted a new fancier sewing machine. Mm-hmm. So I said, please, can I have your old one? And she gave it to me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So how did you and Katie Blakesley and Faith Jones, you know, what's your version of how the three of you decided you should write a book together?
Well, you know, we actually, we're all bloggers, and we kind of all started around the same time, I think. So we were all kind of commenting on each other's blogs, I think. And at one point, Katie, I think actually Faith posted on her blog about Barbara Brackman's book, The Encyclopedia mm-hmm. of Pieced Quilt Patterns, mm-hmm. Which is an amazing resource for anyone mm-hmm. looking at traditional blocks. It doesn't tell you how to make the blocks, but it has hundreds of blocks in it. It's a great design resource. And Faith had posted about that book, and Katie had the idea to do a quilt along using traditional blocks. And she mixed up Faith and I in her head. I think because my blog is freshly pieced and Faith's blog is fresh lemons, like, you know, mm-hmm. just in her head that got mixed up, and emailed me and said, I saw your post about Barbara Brackman's book, and I'm really interested in that. Would you like to do a quilt along? And I said, you know what? That actually wasn't me, but it sounds like a great idea. So if you guys pursue that, I would love to take part. So then, you know, she got in touch with Faith, who was the correct mm-hmm. person, and they brought me on board, and we did a quilt along in the summer of 2011 mm-hmm. called the Summer Sampler Series, which was a quilt along based on traditional blocks. And we each did several blocks in the quilt along, and it was a big success. People really enjoyed it. So we kind of said to each other, you know what, this would maybe make a good book idea. And it kind of grew out of there.
I love these stories. You know, it's just friends. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, oh,
we decided later that it was fate.
Yes. 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 Of course. Of course. So which is your favorite quilt in the book?
My favorite quilt in the book, you know, that's tough, of course, because there's so many in there that I like. But I think probably my favorite is Sugar Snow. It's a quilt called Sugar Snow. Basically, it's a star and pinwheel block. So it's a star around the outside and a pinwheel in the center. And I did a variety of different, I used the same block in a variety of different sizes kind of scattered over the quilt top. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, the reason it's my favorite is very sentimental. I designed it, I was inspired to design it right after I visited my daughter's preschool class. My daughter goes to preschool at a nature center, and every year they go out and they collect sap from the maple trees, and they actually make maple syrup out of the sap that they collect. Hmm. And I went with them one day to collect the sap, and at one point the teacher scooped up a handful of the snow and showed it to us, and she said, "This is called sugar snow. It indicates that it's a good time to tap the trees." And sugar snow is very crystallized. It comes from here in Wisconsin. We have in the early spring, we have days that are kind of warm during the day, and then at night it freezes up again. So the snow kind of melts a little bit during the day, but not fully, and then it freezes up again at night. So it gets these very, like, kind of crystallized chunks. And when she scooped up that handful of snow, it was right around the time I was trying to design a quilt with this star and pinwheel block for the book. And when she scooped up that handful of snow, I thought, this is it. I need to design a quilt that kind of looks like this crystallized snow. So I designed this quilt with these blocks in various sizes sort of scattered over the quilt top, in colors that kind of reminded me of the light hitting the snowflakes. And it really ended up being one of my favorite blocks, not just because I like the design, but also because of the sentimental aspect of going out there with my daughter and, you know, doing this fun class thing with her. So
it's always so great to hear a story behind a quilt, you know,
just
to know. Yeah,
that one
they
definitely
don't all have
has one.
that's a wonderful story. This quilt has a lot of open space. There's a lot of space for
it sure
the
does.
Quilt. Yeah, the quilting part. How do you think about that when you're designing? Because that's a sort of the part that's the not the traditional part of that quilt.
That's right. Yes. You know, negative space is great. I love negative space. It calls back to my graphic design background because negative space is so important in graphic design. It kind of gives the eye a place to rest and, you know, sort of brings your focus to the parts of the design that you really want to bring that focus to, and it gives a lot of visual impact. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to quilting, it gets tough. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, here's all this space that I've got to fill. That particular quilt, Sugar Snow, I had it quilted by Krista Withers, who is very talented long armor. She's wonderful. I just love her. And one of her kind of signature things that she does is quilt, she calls them ghost blocks into the negative space. Mm-hmm. So basically what she did was she quilted that star and pinwheel block design into the negative space. And I think that's such a great way to think about that negative space. You know, think about extending the piecing design into the negative space when you're doing your quilting. I have another quilt called Diamond Tread, which I sell as a pattern on my website, and that has a lot of negative space as well. And basically what I tried to do with that one was I quilted it with straight lines, and I just basically extended the lines of the piecing right into the negative space. And I think that's a great way to approach negative space. You know, think of that design continuing on into the negative space and go from there.
And you have a beautiful photo, November 25th, 2013, on your site, freshlypieced.com, that people can see that quilting and get a really visual of it.
Yeah.
What kind of, is that a solid that you use then? Because if you do
that
kind of quilting.
That is actually Essex Linen by Robert Kaufman in the natural color, which is I love Essex Linen. It really gives you the ability to kind of give some texture to your negative space. You know, you may not want to print, but that texture just adds something. So, yeah, that's what that is. And I really was going for kind of, because of the inspiration of the quilt, I was kind of going for a very natural look. So I picked that Essex linen to give it a really natural feel.
So just a quick question before we come to the break. Do you have some way, how are you buying fabric for things like this? Is it by project or are you sort of shopping your stash?
Both,
Trick question.
all of the above. I really like to kind of shop from my own stash when I'm designing a quilt. So a lot of times I'll start there, and then if I find that I don't have what I need within my own stash, then I'll go out and shop the stores for that. So I kind of start by just pulling from my own stash and sort of building from there. And I think, also when I'm just doing general fabric shopping, that helps me know kind of what colors I'm missing from my stash, what I need to fill in a little bit.
Well, this has just been great, Lee. I am so excited about your book. It's a beautiful
Oh,
book.
thank you.
Now, people
It
can
was a
come and
lot of
visit.
fun.
Oh, I imagine you're doing something with friends is just the best.
It really was. Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about my co-authors. They really made it just that much easier.
And people can come see lots of pictures right now on your website, freshlypiece.com.
They
And
can.
yes, yeah, so I'm thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much, Pat. It was really fun.
We'll be back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I am lucky enough that when I see somebody's work that I really like, I can go, contact them and find out if they might want to come on and talk to me about the work. Whether it's, somebody that's all of you are, making their patterns, or someone like my next guest, who is Dan DiPaolo, and he is a fabric designer and an artist. So his fabric is just one piece of his whole design, repertoire. It's just one segment. And his designs you'll find at Clothworks. And I just love the fabrics. I love the images, the whimsical. But he does all kinds of artwork that really speaks to me. His art is something that I really enjoy. So I contacted Dan and I said, hey, could you want to come on and talk a little bit about your work? And he said, yes. So hi, Dan. Welcome to the show.
Hey Pat, how's it going?
Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful here. Tell me where you live. Are you what state do you live in?
I am in very, very cold Wisconsin.
Oh my. Okay, I'm so
Yeah.
sorry. That's although
I
some
know.
people love that. Some people do. So
Yeah,
Dan.
not me, but I'm
Dan, your work is it has made me smile for years and years and years, and I just love it so much. So I just thought it'd be really fun. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about your background. Did you draw as a little kid? Were you like crayoning on the walls in the kitchen?
Well, thanks for the compliment. I love that you it makes you smile because that's the point. And yeah, I've been drawing since I was a kid, and always tucked away in my room, drawing and painting, and that led me to go to art school. And a long time ago, I'm old, not really old, but older. And so back in the day, went to art school and finished that with a fine art degree and continued that for some time. And then kind of by accident entered the world of commercial art, and somehow my work fit with companies' products and started working in the commercial world with a company called Lang back in the day when we made calendars and social stationery and Christmas cards.
Tell everybody a little bit about your style, because they may not be, I mean, I don't know what all the styles Lang does, but they do pretty much, there's a lot of it, this one particular look. Can you describe the look that you do?
Yeah. And when I worked for Lang many years ago, they're still in business, but I don't do work for them anymore. I paint now for about, I'm out on my own. I paint for about 17 different companies. Mm-hmm. I would describe my work as whimsical, nostalgic. Some of it can be kind of folky or primitive. But today it's evolved, as I think most country or primitive folk work has, into a more contemporary style with a lighter palette. And above all, it's whimsical. And it's because I'm always laughing in my head and it comes out in my work and I see the world through funny glasses. And so I think the work is lighthearted and fun.
I mean, I would totally agree. You know, people, if you were getting some of the fabric from Clothworks, Dan did the sort of chefs. I just love the chefs. Because I don't know why.
Yeah,
they
the
just,
chefs are...
They're funny.
The chefs are fun, and I've been making calendars for, I think, 15 years now, and the chef calendar... Mm-hmm. I think it's called Home is in the Kitchen today, and it's produced by Andrews McMeel Publishing. And Clothworks is using images from that calendar for a new line, I think, that's coming out next year. Right now,
good.
The Halloween line collection is out, or was out this year, and that was just based on whimsical, fun Halloween characters.
Now, tell me a little bit about how you develop your sort of design, because you like let's say the cook, you know, there's a whole bunch of different things the cook is doing. I mean, is it a person that inspired you, or did you just one day decide cooks were interesting? You know, how does that work?
right. Yeah,
yeah.
I think, well, first and foremost, I love to cook, and I live in a very remote rural area of Wisconsin on a farm. I grow all of my own food. I raise chickens and eggs. And if I want something delicious, I have to make it myself. So I learned how to cook, and I love cooking. I'm fascinated with cookbooks. And so painting about cooking just made sense.
Ah, so your person then, the cook itself, it's not like you or like your buddy or anything, you know, your local restaurant owner.
Well, he could be. I mean, he looks like most chefs that I know. He's a little chubby.
Yeah.
But because, you know, he likes to eat. But I do get influence from folks that I meet. For instance, I do another calendar in a group of work. I think that Clothworks is launching a collection with soon called Just Us Girls. And those characters and those paintings are based on women that I meet or conversations that I overhear. And they're funny. And from those instances, I develop paintings.
So when you're like out and about, you're like in the local diner, are you sketching, you know, the people at the table next
yes.
to you? Are you going like, can you please hold still?
Yes.
I need to.
Well, you know, yes. And now that the world, everyone has a phone with a camera, it's kind of easy to snap a shot and take it home and draw from that.
Yeah, so you don't have to ask them to stop eating anymore. You can just take a picture. And, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Well, I have a friend who's a writer. She writes novels, and she's constantly listening to all the conversations in the room. So it's hard to get her attention occasionally because she's picking up just words or thoughts. And is that sort of how it is for you with all that going on around you?
Yeah, Pat, it's very much the same. And that's where most of my influence comes from. And, you know, just here on the farm with the animals and the funny things that they do, it's, you know, it's just from everything from the whole world around me that influences what I make.
So when, you know, how did the Clothworks people find you? Did you, I'm just sort of curious, did they just call you up one day, or were you like looking around for, or your agent looking for new ways to have your designs showcased?
Yeah, you know, I'd been approached by several manufacturers, fabric manufacturers, but really didn't have the time and or the talent that it takes to take artwork from a painting and develop it into the repeats and the color stories that are needed. My agent, Joanne Olds from the Buffalo Works, contacted Clothworks. And they were real excited to look at my work. And what's great about the relationship is that they build those repeats for me. We go back and forth with ideas. They're really great to work with. So this isn't a new license for me. I've seen just the one collection, the Rooster collection. And the quality is great. I think that the color and all the repeats that they built are beautiful. So I'm really happy to be with them and to be working with them.
So when the fabric starts coming, have you had any fabric at your house yet? Do you have like bolts of fabric?
Yes. Yeah, they send me big samples that I happily pass along to my mother because she's a quilter and a sewer.
Ah, so you have quilts at your house, right?
I do. I do. I love textiles. I've always had a passion for textiles, especially vintage. And, you know, I certainly can't sew anything myself. I can go forwards and backwards on my Singer featherweight. And that's it for me.
Well, you know that people would like, you know, cut off the right arm for a featherweight, you know, in the world of quilters.
I have two, and I would never give them up. They're the best machines ever made.
I know. When I go out to teach, Dan, people will bring those to class because they're small, you know, and they, you know, as long as we're doing straight stitching. So you have the treasures now in your house. Everybody knows this, the farm with the featherweights.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I would never get rid of them. They're workhorses, and they're great machines. You just, somebody like me can actually sew on them.
Yeah, somebody like you. You could. If you can paint, you can sew. That's not a problem.
You know, I think you're right, Pat. There is something about drawing and sewing that is similar. And I tend to use the machine like a pencil. I don't know the rules, and if all of you excellent quilters ever saw my sewing skills, you would have a lot to criticize, but I use it as, in a more creative way and just to kind of be able to get what I need out of it.
So I'm curious what, I always ask a lot of, you know, a lot of the people what their studio, what their work area is like. What is yours like? I mean, you're not sewing quilts, but what is your studio like where you are every day to create?
Sure. Well, you know, the farm here is a historic farm. The house is a stone house built in 1880. And then I have three barns, and each of them serve a different function. One is a shop, one is a wood shop. And then I moved a 1840 two-story log house to the property to use as a studio. So the upstairs of that building, which I'm in now, is where I paint and create for all the licensees. And the downstairs of the studio is where I build samples, whether it's out of wood or fabric or paint.
Oh, how interesting. So for your three-dimensional items, you do mock-ups?
I do. A lot of times companies, licensees require that I actually build the first samples.
Oh, so that's interesting. I had no idea. I guess I never thought about it, how that 3D chicken came to be. Just, you know, you just didn't snap your fingers.
Right.
So what is one of your favorite things you've designed? I mean, not of all, it doesn't have to be of all time, but maybe like current. What is sort of your favorite images that you're working with?
Well, I love painting for Halloween because it's a time where you can really get crazy and whimsical and kind of off the edge. I think one of my all-time favorite pieces that was ever produced was a snowman and a train set that I did for Costco many years ago. Today, there's a great collection out in stores right now by Demdeco through Silvestri that is a Christmas collection. It's kind of nostalgic, retro. I built the samples out of materials like found objects and beadboard and paint. And there's Santa Claus, snowmen, trees, and I'm real proud of that collection. It's a great company.
That sounds amazing, Dan. That is really, I have to go look for that. You don't have a picture of that, do you, on your website?
The images are on the blog.
Okay. So Dan's site is Dan, D-I-P-A-O-L-O, studios.blogspot.com. All right, so Dan, you told me earlier that you grow everything and you have the chickens, you have the eggs. I mean, do you also sell your stuff? I mean, do you produce just for yourself or do you have an abundance of it?
I do produce a lot of food here. It's not certified organic, but I try to stay in those guidelines. Mm-hmm. And the hens are all free range. I sell eggs to local restaurants and to a group of customers that come out to the farm. And then the big barn is open seasonally from spring until about October, where I sell artwork, pieces that are produced by other companies, some original handmade work, and fresh produce.
Oh, my gosh. So people can come and visit you.
They can. The shop hours and all of that are on the blog as well.
Neat. Oh, and you also have a link there to the log house so that people can see that. And it's amazing. Dan, this has been so much fun.
Thanks, Pat. It's been a blast.
Everybody check out Dan's site, dandepaolostudio.blogspot.com. We'll be right back after the break.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I have Ashley Smith here, and Ashley grew up in a quilting family. Not only just a quilting family, but a quilting business. Her mother was co-owner of the Possibilities in the Great American Quilt Factory in Colorado. So if you had visited the store, you may have run into Ashley. You may have seen her as a toddler all the way up until she was directing and managing parts of the business. So she really has this great long history of being in quilt making and working with quilt makers. So Ashley, thank you for being here.
Hi, Pat. Thanks so much for having me.
You are now the acquisitions editor at craftsy.com, which is, you know, continuing your really deep, rich background of quilting. Do you love that job? Sounds like an amazing job.
I absolutely love my job. I tell at least one person a day how amazing it is to work here. It's an amazing company, and more than that, I love being able to continue sort of my family roots of quilting, and that was such a mainstay of my growing up years. And so now to continue on in that profession and see it increasing and growing the industry is really just a fantastic thing to be a part of.
When you were little, I mean, do you remember going into the quilt shop? Because I think your mom, you know, Nancy Smith told me that she brought you kids into work.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It really was almost like a second home for me. Fun to always know the people that worked there. We had lots of employees that, had been there for 20 years, almost 30 years. So that was always nice to have extended family. And then just being a part of the atmosphere and the environment and learning what it was like to really own your own business and the hard work mm-hmm. that it took. It's my mom, Nancy, and Linda Milligan are a true testament of a great business partnership. And so it was a good role model for me to look up to.
They are amazing. They were the first guests I had on my radio show.
Yep. I remember that.
Yeah. It was so exciting. I was working with them just prior to starting the radio show at an event. And I'm like, you know, they're so lovely, so easygoing, and have such deep, rich background in quilt making. And so that was really fun. You have done all kinds of jobs. I mean, you quilt, right? You are also a quilter. You can't possibly.
I can. I tell people that I can. I do work a lot of hours, and I've got a young son. And so life keeps me busy, but I do try and fit a few things in here and there.
Yeah, I don't think you could possibly not at least know how, whether that's you're really more the business
side.
That's
very true.
Yeah.
Yep. I like the business side. And, you know, that's something that is fun coming from my family's business and then into Craftsy. I have such a well-rounded vision of what it's like to be a retail store owner and what it's like to be a quilter and what it takes to run classes, that just, you know, I've had my hands in a lot of the quilting cookie jar.
So what does an acquisitions editor do? One of the things that you told me was that you are responsible for the part of the blog for Craftsy where, you know, the quilting and the sewing and stuff is, but what else do you do there?
I do contribute to the blog a little bit. My primary focus is finding fantastic instructors and creating fantastic classes. And so the majority of my time is really looking for those topics and techniques and different things that are really going to resonate well with our students, and those classes that people are looking for, classes that maybe are harder for people to get to in their local stores. You know, we want to be able to offer all of that. And, you know, it's kind of a unique thing to be a quilting instructor and teach in a room full of cameras and not a single student. And so,
right.
You know, it's a very unique experience for a lot of teachers who are very comfortable and used to teaching with a room full of, you know, 20, 50, 150 people. Mm-hmm. But we work really hard to find just that perfect combination, and the result is fantastic. We've got over 70 quilting classes, and we've got
plenty more coming in 2014. And, you know, we keep listening to what our students and our users are looking for so that we can continue to provide those exciting classes.
So what have you noticed? I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about trends, you know, since we just had the trade show recently, and plus you are obviously out there looking at all kinds of things that are going on. What are a couple of quilting kind of trends that you're noticing?
Sure. You know, and not just because I work at sort of a technology-based company, but technology overall is becoming such an integral part of everyday life in our society. And we're really seeing that infiltrate into quilting as well. And, you know, I walk around trade shows and consumer shows, and it's amazing to see the number of people who have their iPads and, you know, taking pictures with their iPhones. And, you know, we see it here at Craftsy that, you know, people are actively getting online and being involved not only at Craftsy, but also everywhere from Pinterest and Flickr. And quilting is really becoming deeply rooted in technology, and it's, I think that's very cool. And, you know, it's sort of slowly been coming, but we are seeing it more and more every day.
I agree, because I started when there was like Delphi boards, you know, and I had, I was just like really, you know, hungry. I mean, I have a computer background. And so, you know, for me, the internet was like a playground. It's like, let's find more people. And so I totally agree that it's just exciting to have more people out there online doing stuff. What else are you seeing?
Sure. One of the other things that I think is really neat, I think this year was my 18th year at Quilt Market. So I've been in the industry for a little while and professionally. So, and
what I'm really noticed. You went when you were 2 years old. So.
Yeah, I'm a little older than that. Thank you though. but what I'm really noticing is that we're coming to sort of this middle ground again. I think for a while it felt like the industry was fragmented, and we either had people that were really, really new or people who were so amazing and talented and skilled that their expert work was just unmatchable. And so I feel like we're finding this nice place of less focus on perfection and focusing more a little bit on accessibility. You know, not all those quilts need to be ready to enter in a show. It's okay to use quilts that you're making for tossing out in the backyard or in the back of your car for a tailgating party. And, you know, there's certainly still everything on both ends of the spectrum in terms of difficulty and skill level and that kind of thing. But it's nice. Patterns feel a little bit more approachable. Various types of like no marking for your quilting designs, little things like that. It feels like we're becoming more cohesive again as an industry and really ready to find ways to help people get started in the industry and started in quilting and not feel so afraid or intimidated because they don't need to make something that's perfect.
So, you know, with the Craftsy environment, you have your forum, your sort of community board where people can post pictures and they comment with each other. Is there anything you're seeing there? I mean, how active are people talking to each other in that arena?
Well, we've actually got a couple of different places for people to interact, but it's really, you know, we see a lot of people within the individual classroom boards who are, it's such an exciting new way to reach out to other cultures all across the world. And, you know, there's a lot of talk, a lot of interest, a lot of people helping one another. One of the cool things about Craftsy classes is that as you post questions, your instructor actually answers the question that you have, but it gives other students in the class a chance to jump in and really support one another and help each other out. And, you know, I know I talk to people at sort of local shows, and I know that people are saying, oh yeah, you know, I met up with so-and-so in Houston because they were a part of my Craftsy class and we were students together. So it's connecting people online, but also connecting them in the physical world.
I love that part about the online communities, and that there are just more and more ways for people to be. Do you think this, actually, like, that people will be in just one or two places, but then they can find enough people there now, so like that works for them?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think cultures have always been this way, or at least that's what I saw when I was growing up, that it's, you know, people sort of get stuck into their day-to-day life, and online gives them a chance to reach out. But then that's also a different opportunity for meeting new cultures and getting inspired and seeing different things. And then eventually, you know, traveling to meet those same people. And it's a nice way to connect and keep people connected around quilting itself.
So what is the, like, hot class right now, Craftsy for quilt making? You know, what is everybody just signed up for?
You know, we have got, I don't know that I can say that there's just one. We've got mm-hmm. so many classes that hit different skill levels and different mm-hmm. interests. You know, we just released a finishing school with Mimi Dietrich, and that's mm-hmm. really a fantastic class for learning different ways to finish your quilts instead of just putting on a straight binding. What else can you do? You know, if you've put mm-hmm. lots of hours into a magnificent quilt, why not add a few extra hours into a magnificent binding? We've got a lot of, and one of the other trends that I'm also seeing online and in the industry is like pre-cut classes, where you use pre-cut fabric bundles. And those classes are extremely popular on Craftsy. It's a nice sort of risk-free way to take advantage of a project and not feel like, oh, I have to, you know, pick the fabrics and pick the design and learn the techniques. It just mm-hmm. it makes it a little bit more approachable. So those are very popular. Machine quilting classes. We've got a lot of machine quilting, and
yes,
for people who aren't ready to, you know, invest in long arm services or just want mm-hmm. to be able to finish their own quilt, it's a great opportunity yeah. and a great way for them to do that. So
yeah,
we've also got lots of. Okay,
I was going to say Leah Day had been on all this year every month.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so that was, and people just are hungry for machine quilting knowledge. So
yes.
We have about 30 seconds.
People
can go to craftsy.com and sign up, and it's all free, right? The signing up part, not the classes.
The signing up part is absolutely free, and it kind of loops you into the knowledge of what's going on over at the site and lets you know when new classes are coming out. We've got a bunch of free classes that people can just give it a try and see what it's like. And it's a fantastic way to get started.
Thank you so much for being here, Ashley.
Absolutely. This was great. Thanks, Pat.
American Patrick and Quilting Radio, come back next week and we'll have a good show.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.